Welcome to the Logstat, the Army's premier podcast on all things sustainment, where we analyze new developments, discuss current trends, and forge the path ahead for the next generation of sustainment soldiers. Hello, everyone. Welcome back to another episode of the Logstat. I'm your host, Captain Garrett Powell. On today's episode, we're going to be diving even further into data. I know we're continuing to have some good episodes when it's talking about data analytics. We know we looked at data in the sense of direct commissioning in the ASI. Now we're going to take it a step further and see how does data-driven sustainment, what does that look like in a contested environment? Especially after we know we've talked about contested logistics, we've talked about what that looks like and how it's defined. Now we're taking it even a step further on the data side of the house. And with me today to walk us through this, I have Captain Jonathan Van, who just recently completed his training with industry with Deloitte Industries, who's going to provide some perspective on what he has recognized and seen when it comes to data-driven sustainment, both from the industry as well as now applying to the Army side of the house. So, Jonathan, if you could give us a quick introduction on yourself.
Greetings, Captain Powell. Thank you for having me. My name is Captain Jonathan Van. I've been in the Army 21 years prior service, made all the way up to E7. Then I commissioned via Green to Gold. Once I got done with Green to Gold and commissioned as a second lieutenant in the Transportation Corps, I was a PCS to Fort Bragg, where I served as a platoon leader in the 82nd BSB, 3rd Brigade. Did a lot of staff time. Went to Triple C, graduate Triple C. Then I took command right here on Fort Lee. Two commands, one with Charlie Company 16th OD Battalion, and then 59th OD HEC Brigade. And after command time, I did broadening, and I did training with industry, which was a phenomenal experience. Training with industry with Deloitte Corporation, which is a consulting firm, where my main focus was data analytics and data links in the battlefield and Excel spreadsheets. So yes, and thank you for having me here.
Of course. Yeah. So excited to have you. Before we get into today's topic, when you were a prior enlisted, what was your MOS?
I was actually 25 unit form, and that's a signal support specialist. So I was a combo guy. You know, I was working in the S6. And back then, during the COIN and GWAT era, you know, if it plugged into the wall, I was expected to fix it. You know, so 11 good years on the enlisted side as a signaler. And then I decided to take the next step in my career, cross over, and I became a logistician.
So what made you want to become a logistician over a signal officer?
I saw a lot of, you know, I worked a lot with, you know, the STBs, where they were predominantly, you know, 88 series and mechanics. And I did a lot of that. I worked with them when I was enlisted, you know, and their job always seemed appealing. You know, we were in Afghanistan, you know, living a good life, you know, and, you know, being a mechanic and being a cook, you know, the laundry specialist, you know, their jobs were always appealing to me. You know, it was hard. They were working just as hard as we signalers were. And I was tired of being a signalier because, you know, signalier, in my personal opinion, was going more towards the networking side. And I'm not a computer guy, you know. So once I finally was in Green and Gold and I was a cadet, they gave me the opportunity to be a logistician. They said my credentials met that criteria. So I jumped on it and I became a logistician.
Okay. I find it funny you say I'm not a computer guy.
Yeah.
And then now we're about to dive into your experience.
Yes. Now I have like no real, I mean, I've learned a lot about computers the past year. Yeah, either way, the Army, you know, you have to have some kind of computer savviness to you, especially as an officer, you know. So I had no choice but to learn. But now I'm a lot more proficient and I'm a lot more confident.
Yeah. It found you.
Yes.
You without choice. From it.
Without, absolutely.
You know. So then, I'm going to dive head first. Mm-hmm. This is, you know, go up to the deep end. This is dive in head first mm-hmm. on this concept for today of data-driven sustainment in a contested environment. So I kind of want to start on today is what do you see is driving this change for the Army to, you know, adopt a more agile warfare methodology that promotes what I said, like the data-driven sustainment in this contested environment?
In my personal opinion, I think the conflict in Ukraine was a big reason. If you look at the conflict in Ukraine between Russia and Ukraine, you know, Russia had a lot of issues because of logistical with the logistics. Their logistical supply chain was constantly contested and it was destroyed. And pretty much the Russians, you know, were not allowed to do what they were supposed to do just because they had a poor logistical plan. So, you know, the army reviewed, you know, they had their eyes on that conflict, you know, as we all know. And I feel like, you know, the army took that as a warning. Okay, so how do we not end up like that country in a conflict? You know, we had to be more agile and we had to be more predictive and more precise, especially with our sustainment, you know, because believe it or not, you know, sustainment is what actually, you know, wins wars. You know, you're not going to win a war if you don't get your ammo. You're not going to win the war if you don't get your fuel. You're not going to win the war if you don't maintain adequate maintenance on your vehicles and on your fleet. So my personal opinion, that was the driving force, one of the driving forces behind that, just past experiences. And, you know, the Army always learns from previous, you know, and, you know, we definitely have to be more agile and we have to adopt, you know, the data analytics, you know, mindset, you know, along with artificial intelligence.
Okay. So I know as we're, you know, the new FM40, mm-hmm. we're getting more into predictive logistics, precision sustainment. I know that's a driving factor behind all that. So can you, for the audience, you know, define that more for them?
Yeah. So predictive logistics is pretty much knowing when the resupply is coming, you know. So if you know you have a unit out for X amount of time, you know, okay, we already know from past data that we've already consumed, because that's the same. We always had the data. You just got to apply the data sets now. You know, okay, we automatically know we can predict, you know, when we can actually need that resupply. You know, whether it be class one, class three, you know, class nine, we already know just by past data analytics that we did, you know. Mm-hmm. And that leads into precision sustainment, because if we already know, that gives the leaders, the strategic leaders, you know, the insight, you know, for freedom of action. Okay, from the data analytics that we have put together, we know that, okay, we're going to need a resupply at this point, at this time, on this date. So let's have a solution and let's make sure that we get to, you know, make the right decision and the a precise decision, you know, and get the actual supplies to that point, you know, at that given moment. So predictive, the data analytics actually, you know, it provides, you know, it fulfills logistical gaps, you know, and predictive logistics leads to precision sustainment. Because you know where the gaps are coming from, you're going to make the right decisions to fill those gaps. And the glue that holds both precision sustainment, predictive logistics and precision sustainment together is data analytics.
Okay. So, you know, it's the right quantity of supplies at the right place, yes. for the right unit, yes. at the right time. And it's getting there. It's getting a little bit past the old just-in-time logistics
yes.
that we had prior to.
Yes. To sum it up, it allows you to be proactive instead of reactive, you know, and that's something that we definitely need in modern day warfare. You know, the Army and the new FM4.0 is preaching modernization. And because and that LNAs allows a lot of units and leaders to be proactive instead of reactive. So instead of, you know, making a decision after the damage has already been done, we already know when the decision needs to be made and what needs to happen. So we can be 2-3 steps ahead of the enemy or our adversary, make a decision and win the war, at least logistically.
Mm-hmm. So you said that the data analytics, that's the glue yes. that holds this all together. Can you expand upon that more?
Yeah, so when I say it's like the glue, it's going to be the driving force. So predictive logistics does not occur if you have the right data analytics, you know? And I've said it already, like as sustainers, we've always had the data, you know? We just need to learn how to put it in data sets. Algorithms, you know, and we just need to put it in there, put it into a system, apply some artificial intelligence to it, you know, and, you know, allow for those for those logistical gaps to be displayed, you know, on a battlefield simulation, which predictive logistics leads to, you know, and we need all that that doesn't occur without proper data analytics, you know. So you need to know, you know, from previous, you know, data sets, hey, we need to input this information into this, and we can actually project and see and give it like a scenario. You know, is it going to be a scenario? I saw this with the threat-based assessments with FCD, Future Command Directorate. You know, they will actually put in the data, you know, it will create a scenario, and okay, we already know this scenario predicts that logistical gaps will be at this location, this location, this location. Okay, as a leader, you know, as a commander, I can provide a solution, or I can get that resupply at that point, at that point, at that point, you know, and we can actually apply it to the actual, you know, the war and the battlefield.
Okay. No, I definitely want to be coming back to that threat-based assessment here later in our conversation, because there's going to be a lot to dive into.
Yes.
With that, what do you see are some of the strengths, and I would say maybe challenges, of data analytics and AI?
Strengths, let's start with strengths, but pretty much precise decision-making. You know, like, you know, you quick, easy, and efficient, you know, is going to give leaders the ability to think and make decisions more efficiently. Why? Because you already know where the gaps are going to be at. That's where the prediction comes in, you know. And if you already know where the gaps are going to be at, you can be more precise, i.e. precise sustainment, you know, in your decision-making ability. So it gives the leaders, you know, the ability to think a lot faster and a lot more efficiently in their when it comes to scenarios and filling logistical gaps in a contested environment, you know. And it also increases and it also involves risk mitigation. You know, there's a lot less risk that's going to be involved, you know, if you actually know when something's going to happen, you know. And that goes into being proactive. You already know that something's going to happen, so that mitigates the risk because you already have a solution to, you know, for that risk, you know. And it's also cost effective as well, you know. A lot of times, especially in my time, you know, when I was in Afghanistan, you know, we would lose a vehicle, you know, we would lose a lot of equipment, and we had to go through, you know, the parameters of actually getting it fixed, you know. And since we didn't know that was going to happen, you know, it was very time consuming and, you know, expensive, you know, to get that piece of equipment fixed. Now with preventive maintenance, which predictive logistics give you, you know, leaders know and can devise better solutions, you know, and less cost and less costly solutions, you know, for fixing that piece of equipment so we can get it back on the battlefield and win the war logistically.
Okay. So then so we kind of went over the strengths. We get even more into the challenges side of the house.
Yes. The challenges are definitely pretty much education, you know, because, you know, artificial intelligence, data analytics, it does, you know, require, you know, brain power, you know. And I said earlier, I'm not really I was never a computer savvy guy, or a soldier. I kind of had to be, you know. So we as an institution definitely needs to incorporate that into our professional development, whether it's NCO, the NCO Academy, CCC, ILE, wherever you got to go. Data analytics, you know, and artificial intelligence needs to be a big factor of the curriculum. And also we need to, you know, instill data analytics into the strategic echelon of the Army, because we all know FM4.0, we all know that, you know, we're going to a more data-centric environment, you know, and that starts at the top, you know. It starts at strategic level, you know, core division, and it filters down all the way to the brigades, the battalions, and the companies, you know, and it all starts from the top. So the strategic leaders at the strategic echelon actually needs to be the ones who have to buy into this data analytics. I don't think, in my personal opinion, they have a choice, you know, but it definitely starts at the top and has to be factored in and fed through to down to the bottom. And of course, to make things easier, you know, we definitely have to get that a part of the curriculum, you know, and NCOESs, CCC, ILE, and so on.
Okay. Now, I know you've been using the term, of course, data analytics. We've been talking about it since the beginning of this conversation. That is in case for someone out there that hear that is like, can you fully explain how you see the word data analytics, like what that really means when you say that term?
Okay, so data analytics. I'm in Poland. We're on the battlefield, you know. We know that we have a mission going out, and we know that they only going to have so much class 1 or class 3. We know that. So we have data, you know. We have data logs, data sets, you know, which is in some kind of computer somewhere. Okay, the history of these data sets says that after 8 hours or 9 hours, we are going to be black on class 1 or class 3. So we put that in the data set in a logarithm. I might be saying that wrong, excuse me. But, you know, we put that in a logarithm, you know, and we put it into scenario. And, okay, we know right now, just by past data, you know, and analyzing that data, that at 8 hours into the mission, that unit will be black on class one and class three, which is, you know, water and fuel. So if we know that, we can better, you know, create a plan or a solution, you know, or make, you know, a precise and sustainable decision. And okay, I want everybody and all that class one and class three ready for resupply at least, you know, T plus six, you know, mm-hmm. is 8 hours. So T plus six, have everything ready to go, get it out there. And once they go black, you know, we're not waiting around, you know, for the resupply to actually occur. You know, they already are there and they can resupply right then and there, you know. And, you know, it pretty much gives whoever that commander is, you know, the, you know, it makes them make more effective and efficient decisions on that. And that's where it comes to the data, because data, past data, you know, actually will show that, hey, at this time, at this date, usually after a certain period of time, they actually go black on a certain resupply. So that data will allow us to make better decisions, get that supply, that resupply out there ahead of time, so we don't have a unit out there black on any kind of supply.
Yeah, because, you know, people hear it, we keep using the word data all the time. Like, you know, we've talked a lot about it on this podcast before, is it's just really at the core, as you're talking about, it's taking all this data, because you said we've had data for forever. Mm-hmm. It's just actually taking that data, understanding it, and applying it. Mm-hmm. Because if not, it's wasted.
Yes.
So that's where the analytics becomes part of it, where someone can go in, work through that data, mm-hmm. make it readable, mm-hmm. understandable, mm-hmm. so then they can actually use it for something, to apply to something.
Yes. And that's where, you know, that's what pretty much I've been doing for, you know, a year in training with industry. But we definitely want to need those people who know what they're doing. And that where it comes to, you know, the strengths, you know, or the challenges, excuse me, you know, actually getting these leaders. I know the Army is slowly, you know, transitioning over to specific data analytic jobs, you know, where they actually go to school and training to be a data an analyst, you know, for a specific unit, you know. So those soldiers are actually going to be the ones, you know, they can cross-train with, you know, a 91 Bravo or whatever MOS, and this is how we're going to do it, because that is going to be the driving force. So, you know, they need to, you know, take those data sets and apply them appropriately. But first, they need to know what they're doing. They need to know how to do it, you know, and they need to start teaching it to everybody around them, because data analytics will be, you know, the future.
Okay. Yeah. So we talked to the strengths, we talked to the challenges. So how do you foresee us overcoming some of these challenges that you've identified?
Keep an open mind, you know, keep an open mind and, you know, be receptive and know that over time, there's always going to be change. You know, for years, I came in 2005, GWAT, Global War on Terrorism, and it was a coin-based, you know, ideology of war fighting. You know, counterinsurgency, you know, that's no longer the case. Now we're in a large scale combat operations, let's go, environment where they're no longer deploying brigades. They're actually deploying, you know, divisions, sometimes corps, depending on the conflict, you know. So you need to be receptive of change and be adaptive. You know, you have to be adaptive and be versatile. You know, that's part about being a good leader. You know, especially been as long, you know, as I had 21 years, you know, and then you have to have an adaptive mind and just know that, hey, change is going to occur. And you need to be definitely receptive of that change. You know, data analytics, artificial intelligence is not going anywhere. You know, it's on our computers. You know, I'm pretty sure when it comes to certain things, people are pulling up the ChatGPT and using that to write whatever, you know. So you have to embrace it, you know. And quite frankly, we're not the only ones doing it. You know, we actually, you know, the whole world is transitioning. And we, as the grading finding force in this whole world, need to be at least two steps ahead of everybody. So you just need to keep an open mind and be adaptive and embrace the change that will occur.
So then how have you personally seen all this play out? I know you talked about your experience with Deloitte.
Mm-hmm. Very well. You know, like me personally, you know, I have seen scenarios of battlefield simulations where, you know, on a big old screen, you know, where they can already predict when a logistical gap is going to be, whether it's class one, class three, or, you know, class five, you know, class nine, you know, and they can predict, you know, days ahead of time, you know, not just hours, days ahead of time, you know, when that resupply will be needed. You know, it was with Deloitte, and also I did a demonstration with FCD, the Future Command Directorate here in Fort Lee, where they did a lot of threat-based assessments, where they actually showed me scenarios where they just type in a scenario, you know, and it will project and give a prediction of when that resupply will be needed of all classes, of all the classes. So I've seen it play out, and me, at my level, thinks that this is definitely beneficial. It's definitely beneficial and it's definitely, going to work, So we just have to be receptive. We have to have buy-in because this is the future. Data analytics will be the driving force of, the armed forces in the foreseeable future. And we just need to adapt and overcome and embrace it because it's definitely effective, if you apply it the right way.
Okay. And then I know this all ties into what you were referring to earlier in our conversation. Mm-hmm. I'll make sure I get this right. The threat-based assessment, TBA. Mm-hmm. So can you kind of walk us through that, your experience with that more, and just really what that brings to our capabilities?
The capability, so it is a driving force for what we talked about and was an FM4.0. Predictive logistics and precision sustainment, it already will project various scenarios where using past data analytics, where resupplies will happen. So in that, there's a prediction, you can predict, okay, from past data analytics and the data that you've already put into the system. Now, of course, you need to put into the system, it's not going to come out of nowhere. You need that human element to put inside the system. But they put the data analytics into that system. Okay, we already know we're going to need a resupply at such and such time, okay? From that, okay, whoever that leader is, that strategic leader can actually, make an efficient decision, a righteous decision, and know, and say, hey, we will have, a resupply at that point. So it's from coming from the top, goes all the way down, make it happen one way or the other. And I actually saw that on the scenario, it's TBA, it's a big screen, it's a big screen where they can predict. And all you got to do is just put in a scenario, So that scenario is the prediction right there, And those scenarios that they actually put in is based off of past data. This whole year, I've never really, understood how data really is a driving force for a lot of things. I've been to 3 JRTCs, I've been deployed, but all the, ARs and, the after action reviews from the JRTCs, the NTCs, all of the training that's done overseas is actually put into data sets, So I've actually seen them, especially in the TBA, pull data from JRTC such and such date. And this is what this unit reported. This is what happened at Fort Pope, Louisiana, and create a scenario from that. So that goes, that's all past data, historical data, And I was amazed. I was like, wow, because, 3 JRTCs, I was usually in the box just, trying to survive, I was like, wow. All that data that we put in, all of those action reviews, all of the, turmoil and the trepidation that we went through, was actually put into a data set that can actually be used to help out units in the future, So that TBA derived a lot of its data from those events, JRTC, NTC, and it can create scenarios, and those scenarios is a prediction, is a predictor, and from that, you can be more precise with your decision-making.
Okay. So then what kind of recommendations do you have for the sustainment community then to maximize our potential with all this?
The biggest recommendation, and I kind of hinted at it earlier, is keep an even keel when it comes to artificial intelligence and data analytics and the human element. Mm-hmm. We all know, you see it on the news, FM4.0 says it, data analytics is going to be a driving force, but still you're going to need that human element to actually input the data, So you need good, even, augmentation and aggregation of both data analytics and that human element, because mm-hmm. data analytics is not going to go anywhere without that human element, and that's where you're still going to need your leaders. You're still going to need your experts, your education, LPDs need to be, data centric, because yeah, the data's there, but there still needs to be somebody who puts it into the system, and that's where we humans come in, us leaders, so leaders, in the future, yes, AI is going to be a driving force, but don't forget about the human element in that, mm-hmm. because the human element are going to be the ones who put those data analytics into the system. Yes, it's self-serving. This isn't going to be what you see in the movies and whatnot, where artificial intelligence is taking over, because guess what? We still need that human element to control it. We still need that human element to actually input the information and make sure the artificial intelligence and the data analytics is doing what it's supposed to be doing.
Okay. So I know we went a lot through data. Mm-hmm. As we talked about, it's the buzzword right now. Is there anything that we missed from today's conversation that you want to dive anything more into when it comes to anything with data-driven sustainment in a contested environment?
Yes, there is one thing, cybersecurity. That's going to be critical, you know, and that's definitely, I forgot to mention that earlier, it's going to be a challenge because, you know, with data analytics, you need some kind of cyber security element, a part of that, mm-hmm. you know. You see it all the time in Hollywood, you know, but, you know, cyber attacks, mm-hmm. you know, that is a reality, you know, and the more we actually buy in and implement these data analytics and the artificial intelligence scenarios and these battlefield simulations, the more important cybersecurity is going to be critical, you know, and keeping the enemy, you know, from seeing what we're actually doing. So when it comes to data analytics, it comes high cybersecurity, you know, element that you need to apply towards your data analytics. And that needs to be involved in the curriculum because, you know, in order to protect and prevent the enemy from seeing what we're doing, we need, you know, efficient and precise cybersecurity element. Yes.
No, so yeah, it was always good because that's something that can get overlooked sometimes.
Yes, most definitely.
And when we overlook it, bad things happen.
Yes, it does. Yes, it does. And we definitely need to, you know, be cognizant of it in all future training. Most definitely.
So I just want to really appreciate, you know, you coming, sitting down with me today, going over this concept of data-driven sustainment, because mm-hmm. As you talked about, it's not going away. We're going to continue to have more and more data. We don't want to overload ourselves mm-hmm. with data. That's why it gets back to the concept as we were discussing mm-hmm. data analytics to be able to, you know, take this data, understand the data so we can actually do something mm-hmm. with it. And on that, is there any good advice, you know, 21 years experience, being able to go from green to gold that you have for the sustainment community today?
Adapt and overcome. You know, there's going to be constant change. You know, I've been in 21 years and a lot of change has occurred since May 2005 when I enlisted, you know, so the change ain't going to stop, you know, as a leader. You know, you need to be very versatile and embrace the change and enforce the change and expect more of it in the future. So just adapt and overcome and everything will be all right.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that, because I know you just, as you said, 21 years of experience, you got to see and do a lot.
Yes, definitely.
And on that, and where can people come and send you cards and letters, you know, if they want to reach out to you, you know, having you, you know, experience a lot of this data from your TWI experience. Where can they reach out to you?
They can reach out to me on my global, which are jonathanjvan.mil@army.mil. There's only one in the Army, you know, yeah. So any questions or any feedback or anything that you want to send to me, yeah, just send me to my global and I'll get to it ASAP.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much, Jonathan, for taking the time to come down and sit with me today and kind of analyzing this for the audience. Mm-hmm.
Thank you, Garrett. I appreciate everything. Thank you.
Of course. So there you have it, folks. We went through and got a good understanding of what data-driven sustainment is going to look like in a contested environment, as well as how we get through when it comes to just really data analytics overall, some of the strengths, some of the challenges, and just seeing firsthand how this has been implemented across the board. But as we move forward, I know I keep hyping on it, but data is not going away. It's gonna be there. We're going to keep getting more and more data. I mean, we've had it throughout our entire history. It's just now we're getting more systems to help us interpret that data so we can utilize that data on the battlefield. If you have any questions, you know, reach out to those who are you know, very involved in data, like our guest today. I know we're talking a lot. We've had a lot of episodes when it comes to data, really on, you know, today, data-driven sustainment and what that looks like as we're in more of a contested environment now when it deals with large-scale combat operations. So on that note, continue to, you know, dive into the regulations, see what the FM4O that talks about. That's your foundation for that understanding. Start there, reach out to those who are, you know, very much into the data so that we can continue to understand it, because it's not going away anywhere. We've always had data. It's just now we're just getting more and more data. So just find better ways to interpret that data so we can utilize it on the battlefield. But that is all we have today, folks. As always, Sustainable Leaders Start Here. See you next time. Thank you for listening to another episode of The Logstat. We hope you enjoyed today's conversation. Please share this episode across your formation and leave us a review. If you have a topic you'd like here discussed, then please reach out to us at armysustainment@army.mil or directly to me on global at garrett.h.pyle. Follow us on Facebook and Instagram at the U.S. Army CASCOM page. We'll see you next time. Sustainment leaders start here.